question for today is this. Do you know whether you have the Spirit of God or not? Good question. And we're going to get started in the Old Testament, and we're going to go right through to the New. Without any further ado, let's open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10. Brethren, let's start at verse 1. 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon the head and kissed him, which was Saul, and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance?" Drop down to verse 6, brethren. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Brethren, to be turned into another man or to another woman, when you have the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament, it's evident that it's to be converted. It's to turn your life around and go the other way, brethren. Listen carefully to the words of God. Verse 7, "And let it be, when these signs are come upon you, that you do as occasion serve them. For God is with you." Verse 9, "And it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day." Brethren, when you're baptized and you come out of that water, which symbolizes death and a rebirth, it symbolizes almost like going to the cross as Jesus Christ did. Listen carefully. When you come out of that water, you have the Spirit of God, and you're supposed to have a new heart also. We don't have to go there right now, brethren. But if you go to Jeremiah 31:31, it tells you about the New Testament and having a new heart. When you go to Hebrews 8:10, Paul talks about quoting exactly from Jeremiah 31:31, telling us that we would have a new heart and a new understanding, and we should be converted, and we should be building on that every single day of our lives until we endure to the end and we're here no more, and we wind up in the arms of God and under the throne of God, according to, I believe it's Revelation 6. That's where the saints are kept. They're kept under the throne of God for safekeeping, so nothing and nobody can get at them. That's why the Lord said that no one can take you out of his hands or the Father's hands. No one can. Brethren, only you can. Only you could take your hand. Only you could take yourself out of the hand of God, because it's your choice to either do good or to do bad. Either one or the other, brethren. Listen carefully. Go to chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. We're going to walk through this because it's very, very important and significant. It's all in continuity, I believe. 1 Samuel 13, starting at verse 8. "And he tarried 7 days, Saul, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring here a burnt offering to me, and a peace offering,' and he offered the burnt offering." Drop down to verse 11. "And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you came not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash, drop down to 13, brethren. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. Listen carefully, brethren. Go to chapter 15. We're starting to develop a picture here of what was going on and what was happening to the man. Remember, the Holy Spirit was upon this man. The man was changed. The man was changed, okay? From as you and I are. There's only one Holy Spirit. Only one Holy Spirit. There's only one book of life. The man was changed as you and I are supposed to be changed. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Let's see what this man was doing with it. This is a thing of choice. Like I said before, you could either stand up for God and come into the kingdom of God, come into the kingdom of God with a head start, or you can come into the kingdom of God afterwards, after the second resurrection and after the teaching that God will do, and then he will judge these people. But I'll tell you something, brethren. If the world knew what I was talking about right now, the days of Noah would be 10,000 times worse than what they are today. If they understood the world, what I'm saying to you in your ears today, people would do anything they wanted out there. Not having the Holy Spirit, and then come up in a second resurrection, be taught, and come in. God hasn't given them that understanding. Praise God. But you and I know these things, and them that God is calling into the truth by giving him them, he or she, the Holy Spirit of God, could come in and be in the first resurrection. See? Yeah, come on in. They could come in and be in the first resurrection. Have a seat. Hey, how are you? Sit down. Okay. They could be in the first resurrection. Okay? If they by choice deal what you and I are dealing with today, the kingdom of God is given freely. Yes, it is. By favor. That grace, when you go look up what grace is, that is favor. Okay? But with favor also comes obedience. Also comes obedience. Obedience. You've heard me say this many times, brethren, them that are on the tape and them that are here today. God is not a fool. Then, like I said, the trickle down from God goes to parents. What do you do with your children? Do you give them gifts because of disobedience, or do you give them gifts for obedience to try to teach them and train them? It's a very simple thing and common sense minded, but God does the same thing. Eternal life comes also with obedience from God. That's the whole deal. And the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, when we fall and stumble, that blood covers us. The only problem God would have with you and me that have the Spirit of God would be this, that we practice sin. That would be the enormous problem that God would have. Of course, then you would fall into Hebrews 6, and you fall into Hebrews 10, and you trample the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot, and I believe with all my heart and soul, that is the unpardonable sin. To know the truth that God gave you, and just take it as garbage, throw it on the floor, and walk over the blood of Jesus Christ. That, I believe, is the unpardonable sin, because you're practicing sin, and you counted God's gift as dung, garbage, crack. That's what you accounted it as. Listen carefully, brethren. Still talking about the account of Saul. And remember the question. Do you know whether you have the Spirit of God or not? Listen carefully, because we're dealing with a man that had the Spirit of God. And let's listen through the scriptures what happened to this man. Okay. Here we go. We started at I was just starting to go to 15. Okay. I was just starting to turn to 15. All right. 15, 1, 2, 3. 15, 1, 2, 3. And then we're going beyond that. Listen carefully, brethren. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over all his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid waste for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Listen carefully what I'm saying here. Listen in the context. Okay, 7, go down also, 7 through 13. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Habali until they came to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agar the king, listen, of the Amalekites alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agar, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me, in other words, I'm sorry, that I have made Saul to be a king. For he has turned back from following me. He's not listening to me. This is the second time I told this man to you what to do, and he did it not. This is coming from the Lord, the God of the third heaven. And this man is not obeying God, and he's telling him, now this is what he says. For he has turned back from following me, had not performed my commandments. And it grieved Solomon, and he cried unto the Lord all night on behalf of this individual. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul, come to Carmel. And behold, he set him up in a place, and it was gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Listen what gets said over here. Because now you got to remember, a prophet of God is going on behalf of God Almighty to this man and needs to be dealing with him in this way, as God will be dealing with you and I. Remember, this man, these two men had the Spirit of God. Samuel had the Spirit of God, and Saul had the Spirit of God when he was anointed. It said so clearly. When you go back to 1 Samuel 10. Here we go, brethren. We're going on. And Samuel, we're going to go right through 35, because it's very, very important. And Samuel said, What do you mean? In other words, he just said that I kept all that the Lord said to do. Now, that's Samuel. Put yourself back there. And Samuel said, what do you mean then by this bleating in my ears of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen will I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto me, Saul said, say on, in other words, speak on. And Samuel said, when you were little in my own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. That means all of them. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? In other words, when you first got the chance, you saw what was good, you grabbed them and you took them. In other words, don't give me that baloney that you took them to sacrifice to the Lord. Don't tell me that there, because the Lord gave you a specific thing to do. If he wanted you to do, I'm saying here, if he wanted you to do these things, he would have said, take a certain amount and sacrifice them to me. Bunch of nonsense. And brethren, that's what the world does today. They don't want to take responsibility. All they want to do is blame the next guy, just as Adam and Eve did. Who did Adam blame? Oh, it's the wife you gave me. Of course, and then she went to the, and she said that it was Satan. I mean, not saying to them, well, geez, you know, I could have, by choice, not taken and partook of the apple or whatever fruit that it was off that tree. No. That's what he needed to say. Maybe God wouldn't have been so hard on them. Yes, he would have been hard, and surely they would have surely died. He wouldn't have taken that away. But he would have made it maybe a little easier had they took responsibility. In the shop that I have in Orange City here, I run into the same things. Nobody wants to take responsibility, whether it's them coming in as customers or them working on the vehicles. They don't want to take responsibility. It's always something that made them do it, either the tool or the part or this and that. But you have to rightly be able to understand these things. Then if it was either or, okay, but when it's you, take the responsibility that it's you and try to correct it, brethren. That's what's being said here also. Mankind has not changed. God changes men. From Adam and Eve to Revelation, men do not change. They don't change. God changes men when he gives them the Spirit of God. Then you have to rely on the Spirit of God and not your spirit. You will always run into trouble with your own spirit. And we're going to see, as I'm reading here, how this man who did not rely on the Spirit of God, what happens to him. We're starting to get the picture of it right now as we're building it. Here we go, brethren. And Saul said, verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agar the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, listen, here we go, here's the stupidity, and here's where we're not taking responsibility. Listen where he starts off. But the people took the spoil. What did Aaron do? Did not Aaron do the same thing in the time of Moses when they brought him and said, look, where's Moses? What happened to this guy? Bring me all your earrings and all your gold and everything, and I'll make a calf for you. No. Instead of telling them, like I said before, what Aaron should have said and what this man should have said, but Aaron even more, go back to your tents now. I have been left in total control, and I have the authority to destroy you with just uttering my voice. God will destroy you if you pursue and persist what you're dealing with and telling me. Go back to your tents now. Did Aaron do that? No, he didn't. He went and he made a calf, which represents Satan the devil. The calf represents Satan the devil, because that's one of the cherub's faces. There's a calf, an ox. Then if he turns again, he looks like an eagle. Turns again, he looks like a man. There's four faces. And he turns again, he looks like an eagle. See? Look at all the depictions I just said. Okay? We have ourselves. We depict an eagle as one of our signs of the United States. Germany, Hitler's Germany also had an eagle. I believe so did Rome. See? And when you look at Egypt, they had all kinds of other things too, like calves and stuff like that. All kinds of animals. But the idea is they came from somewhere, brethren. But please listen carefully as we go on. And Samuel said, But the people took the spoil of the oxen, verse 21, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord their God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the Lord? See, the thing is, sacrifice means nothing to the Lord. Sacrifice never meant anything to the Lord in the Old Testament. Sacrifice means a lot to the Lord in the New Testament, because he says in Romans 12:1 that we are a sacrifice, which is true. Them that are trying to obey God are a sacrifice, because they're not doing the things of the world. They're out of the world. They've stepped out of the world. They've come out of the world, like Paul says to do in Corinthians. Like the angel of God said in Revelation 18, come out from amongst them. That's what you and I have done, brethren. We've come out from amongst the world. This is better than sacrifice. This is obedience. This is obedience to God that is going to reward you greatly, according to Matthew 16 when he comes back. It says that the Lord will have his reward with him. Brethren, listen carefully. God rewards nobody. Nobody except whom he wants to reward. And we always have the dot that I always look at, brethren. The dot is the thief on the cross. That shows you that man at that time, God chose, who was in the flesh at that time also, plus the Father in heaven, chose to grant that man to be with him in paradise, not at that day, and not at 3 days after, okay? And not at 3 days after, see? Never had that way. But the idea is, listen carefully, brethren, listen carefully. Verse 22. And Samuel says, has the Lord, and to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as lawless deeds, and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, your words, because I, here we go, now he's coming clean, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That's exactly what Aaron did. Exactly what Aaron did. Now I want to put a parallel with Aaron and this man as we go on. Aaron did not go into the type of kingdom of God. Listen carefully here, in the flesh. Now remember those words, and I'll bring them back to us as we go on. Now therefore I pray you, pardon my sin and turn again me with me, and I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his man on the bottom, and it ripped. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has ripped the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord your God, thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring you here to me Agar, the king of the Amorites. And Agar came to him delicately. And Agar said, surely the bitterness of death is past in himself. And Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel chopped Agar in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul, to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul, until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Go with me, brethren, to 1 Samuel 16. Dropping down 1 through 15. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Listen, this is the Lord speaking. Seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse in Bethlehem, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, come you peaceably. And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, and they looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not for his countenance, in other words, what he looks like on the outside, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Listen, very important, brethren, this is for today. For man looks upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And Jesse called Eliab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has he chosen this one. Then Jesse said, say him to pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, and the Lord said to Jesse, there remains a youngest one, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for I will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him. Now it was a little ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look on. In other words, he was a handsome little child. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst, of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord, listen, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit, listen carefully here, brethren, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants, well, that's neither here nor there, but listen carefully. This here, what happened to Saul was an absolute blessing in this behalf here. as Moses and Aaron were not able to go into the type of kingdom, a type of fleshly kingdom which was going into Jerusalem and Canaan, not the spiritual kingdom, but they had to obey the same way you and I have to do today. In other words, brethren, God gives the calling, his ministers through speaking and your hearing, and their hearing also, can bring you to the door where Jesus Christ is. But in order to pass through that door, you have to be obeying the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, the same as Moses and Aaron needed to be doing. Because of the things that they did, they would not come into the fleshly kingdom of God, the type of, but they will come into the spiritual kingdom, because that's evident when you go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. You see David there, you see Abel there, you see Enoch there, you see all that had the Holy Spirit of God, and them that weren't mentioned, because Samuel's not mentioned, but yet he had the Spirit of God. In other words, but Paul does say, but for time's sake, in other words, I'm paraphrasing, he would have to keep speaking and speaking and speaking of them that would be in the kingdom of God. But these men, having the Holy Spirit of God, are in the faith chapter, and they're waiting for the same promise you and I are waiting for. See, this is very, very important, but listen here. This is the blessing that the Lord did to Saul. By him taking the Holy Spirit away from him, did not condemn him from not going into the kingdom of God. It only put him into another resurrection. Instead of Saul being in the first resurrection and going into the 1,000-year reign in the spiritual kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of Jesus Christ that starts first, and the kingdom of the Father comes after the reign of Jesus Christ, after the judgment and everything, that's evident in Revelations 20 and 21. This man will come up in the second resurrection, not to destruction, to Gehenna fire, but to come up and be taught, and then accept, and then do what God says to do, as we're trying to do right now in the flesh, because that's the only way that you and I could be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is that God is judging you and I right now as we walk on the hoof. That's what's going to happen in the second resurrection. They're going to have to do what you and I are doing right now to be in the kingdom of God forever. All as we're having is a head start. We're going to have a 1,000-year head start to reign with Jesus Christ on this planet, and out of Jerusalem will be the capital of the world at that time, and Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and according to Revelations 20, we will be kings and priests as God sees fit, the Lord, to put us in different areas, and what you did in your life. He gives that parable when he gave the 10 coins to this one guy, person, and 5 to another, and 1 the other one buried. He gave one kingship over 10 cities. He gave another 5, and the other one he took from him and gave it to the one that had the 10, bypassed the one with the 5. But these are parables that a lot of the world don't understand, brethren. They just don't understand these parables. But the idea is they're fixed. When you go line upon line and precept upon precept, according to Isaiah 28, and God gives you the understanding through the Spirit of God, you're able to connect the dots. Most of the world cannot connect the dots. They take a scripture, they isolate it, and they make a doctrine over it. Can't do that. You got to have at least three, four, or five, in context. But it's always got to be in context. Then it's the truth of God. You can't isolate a scripture. Because if we isolate scriptures like the world has done, we'll be keeping Sunday, without a doubt. We'll be keeping Christmas and Easter, without a doubt. But what do you find in God's Word? I can't find it. I can't find it in God's Word. And that's all we go by, brethren. We go by the Word of God and what Jesus Christ did. Listen carefully, brethren. Let's go now to Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Remember the question, and we're going to go all the way through to the New Testament, because that's how it is. That's what you're supposed to do. And let me just make one more statement, and we'll go on. Most of the world is walking around with half a Bible. That's because Satan the devil wants to have it that way. Because he doesn't want you to go back into the beginning where everything starts and then goes forward. See, he wants you to stay in the New Testament, where the New Testament was not a book of the law. It was about Jesus Christ himself. But show me one passage that Jesus Christ said that you don't have to keep the laws of God anymore. Show me one. Show me one. You can't. Only he says differently. When I go to Matthew 23, I'm going to spend a little time there. He says, the Sadducees and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, do as they say, but don't do as they do. Now, I ask you a question. The religion was right at that time. The keeping of the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, all these things, according to Leviticus 23, stood because Christ had, at that time, the ability and the act and the authority, because he said that all authority has been given over to me before he went to the cross. So he had the authority to say, look, this is what he didn't say, but this is what he could have said. Paraphrasing. Though these men sit in Moses' seat, there's one that came which is greater than the temple, is greater than Solomon, is greater than all these that are here, stands here now. I tell you, hear what I have to say. No, he didn't say that. He said, these men sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, do as they say and not what they do. They were keeping the Passover, yet they were hypocrites. Read all of Matthew 23. He calls them snakes, whited walls, you name it. He calls it to them. Listen, the world hasn't seen these things. When you go to Matthew 15, he tells them, by your tradition, you wash the outsides of pots and the inside. In other words, I'm paraphrasing. What are you doing? What are you doing with this here? But full well, you go by the tradition of men, but the commandments of God you reject. You don't do them. That's found also in Mark 7. Brethren, these are for your ears to hear. These are for your ears to hear. And you need to be putting these things into context. And you need to be doing what God says to do. Or as this world, as we're looking at it right now, that's falling apart, God will not protect you. God will not protect you because he protects them that are his. When I go to Hebrews 1, it tells me that the angels protect you. I go to Psalms 34. I go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall to your left and 10,000 to your right, but nothing will touch you. He's talking about the days of today and forward if you're alive, brethren. I'm telling you, these are life-saving words that I'm saying today. On behalf of the Father and Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. Listen carefully, brethren. Psalms 50, verse 15, Psalms 50, verse 15 through 17. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Listen, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But unto the wicked God says, what have you to do? What have you to do to declare my statutes, or that you should take my covenant in your mouth? Listen, seeing that you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. That's exactly what's going on today. They're dealing, mostly Christianity is dealing with the tradition of men today. Christ said in Matthew 24, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Which they're telling the truth, but deceiving many of how to worship God in spirit and truth. The Lord said in John 4 to the woman at the well, you cannot worship God unless you worship him in spirit and truth. I say to you in all candor, is the first day of the week truth?
Did the Lord resurrect on Sunday?
No, he did not.
Even my grandchildren, the smallest one that's going to go into kindergarten, knows how to count 3 days and three nights. Can you get 3 days and three nights from a Friday burial to a Sunday morning resurrection? That's the only sign that the Lord gave that he was going to be a Messiah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so will I be. 3 days and three nights. Go back over there. Find out if Jonah was in the whale 72-hour period. If not, then Christ is a liar, which he's not. But the idea is he gave that sign. 72 hours. You count it out. If you can't count 3 days and three nights, you're looking at the wrong Christ, the wrong gospel, and you have a different spirit. Now, I didn't say that. Paul, my brother, said that in 2 Corinthians 11. He said that they've gone to a different spirit, a different gospel, and a different Christ. That's 2,000 years ago. I'm saying it today in your ears. It's the same today. It's the same today. Christ changes not. Malachi 3. Hebrews 13. Christ, the Lord, is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He doesn't change. No, it's not going to be any different. But as a matter of fact, it's going to be the same, of course. But see, those people have to get there. Listen carefully, brethren. Psalms 51, listen carefully, 1 through 3. 1, 2, 3. Psalms 51, 1, 2, 3. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and have done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully, brethren. 9 through 13. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my lawless deeds. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold with you a free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors, lawless, in other words, people that are doing lawless deeds, your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. What is he saying? How could this man ever tell people what's right or wrong unless he knew the commandments of God and what the statutes were to tell them what to stay away from? What did Paul say? I had not even known what sin was, but that the law of God was there. That was how I knew what sin was. And when I realized these things, I died. In other words, he didn't die physically. He died knowing that this was sin and what to stay away from. He stood away from sin, which is death, because when you go to Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, always death. Listen carefully, brethren. Let's go on, because I got some more. I got much to do. Daniel 4, then we're going to go to the New Testament, brethren. Then we're going to the New Testament. Daniel 4. Listen carefully. Daniel 4, 1, 2, 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God has brought toward me. How great are the signs, and the high mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that you might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Let's go right to, because I don't want to run out of time, because I got a lot of scriptures over here to say. Here we go. Let's go to verse 9, brethren. Verse 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. That's in the Babylonian name instead of Daniel. That's what he was called. According to the name of my God, and in whom the spirit of the holy gods, in the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, he told it to the spirit of God. That's what he was saying. He interpreted a dream to the spirit of God. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Listen, this is a Gentile speaking to Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. And no secret troubles you. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof, which he did, brethren. Which was that he was going to. I'm just going to say it briefly. That he was going to at one time say that he did all these things according to his power. And the Lord was going to tell him exactly what he was going to do, and he winds up that he wound up eating grass for about 7 years, like an animal, like an ox. But anyway, let's go on from there. Daniel 9, brethren. Daniel is a brother and a sister to you and I. All others have to be under the guise and of our neighbor, and we're supposed to treat our neighbor as ourselves. I have no problem with that, but this is a brother of you and I that's in, I believe, in the faith chapter. No, he's not, but he's going to be. He's got the spirit of God. Listen carefully what's being said here, and this is why I say he's a brother of you and I. Listen carefully. Daniel 4 1 through 3. And in the first year of Darius, the son of Acharias, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Therefore, in the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish in 7 years, and in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Listen carefully, brethren, right through 9. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O God, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Almost 100 years after John saw the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you go to 1 John 5:3, and I always go there every week because I find it somewhere and a way to go back there, John says himself, to love God is to keep his commandments, and my commandments are not burdensome. What commandments? The same commandments Daniel is talking about. The same ones Isaiah was talking about, Jeremiah, and all the minor prophets were talking about those commandments. Those are the commandments that came from on high. Those are the standards of God. Those are the standards that Jesus Christ himself adhered to, because he's the one with the finger of his own hand wrote the Ten Commandments in stone and gave the statutes according to Exodus 22, what to do and what not to do. These are the things that Jesus Christ followed to the letter, to be the second Adam, according to 1 Corinthians 15. He was the God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. Very simple to find that. All you have to do is go to John 1:1, and then we don't have to go there, but you will go there later. When you go down to verse 10, it says, he was in the world, yet the world recognized him not. I'm paraphrasing. And he created the whole world. And there's not one thing in the world that was not created but through Jesus Christ. He was the God of the Old Testament. It says so. And 1 John, it says so in Hebrews 1 also. It says so in Colossians. It says so all just about all true. But listen to me carefully, brethren, for time's sake. Listen to me carefully. Right through, let's drop right down to verse 9. Listen. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, or walked in his ways, which he set before us by the servants of his prophets. What does it say in 1 John 2? Doesn't it say to walk as Jesus Christ walked? Doesn't Peter just say that Christ is our example? How did Christ walk when he was on this earth? Did he keep the commandments of God? Show me where he didn't. If he didn't, you and I would have no Messiah. We'd still be waiting for him to come. Listen, verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, even by departing from your might, not obey, that they may not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out among us, and the oath is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against you. All you got to do is go to Deuteronomy 28, blessings and cursings. That's what he was talking about there. Listen carefully, brethren. We're going to switch gears right now, and I'm going to go to the Byzantine text, the 1550, for the New Testament. Let's turn the Byzantine text, 1550. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke 8, brethren. Luke 8, I want you to listen carefully. Luke 8. Luke 8. Luke 8. Luke 8, 4 through 15. Listen carefully, brethren. Luke 8, 4 through 15. And as a great multitude was assembling, and those who were coming to him from every city, he spoke a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the road, and it was trampled under, and the birds of heaven devoured it. Another seed fell upon the rock, and after it had sprung up and withered because it had no moisture. And another seed fell among the thorns, and after springing up together, the thorns choked it. And another seed fell upon good ground, and after springing up, produced fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried aloud, saying, "The one who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. I say to you in your ears today, hear what the Lord is saying in your ear, because he's going to explain this parable. And I'm going to bring it to light through Jesus Christ. Listen carefully, brethren." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" What's the answer? Okay. And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables." Listen, it's the same today. The world is blinded. Their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears are deaf to these words. Listen, so that they may see, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. That's Isaiah 6. Now this parable, listen carefully. The seed is the word of God. Brethren, as though the word of God is the New Testament also, but I tell you, as Jesus Christ was speaking, the word of God was the Old Testament. Listen to what I'm telling you today. When he was speaking, the Old Testament was the word of God. When he was contending with the devil in Matthew 4:4, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word of God proceeded out of his mouth through the prophets as they wrote, as they spoke. None of the prophets ever told anybody not to keep the commandments of the statutes of God. It's the opposite. They told them that they needed to do it. And if they didn't do it, there was great consequence. They were taken right out of the type of kingdom of God. And they were taken by the Assyrians and Babylon. Took them right out of the type of kingdom of God. Now, if you don't hear these words, brethren, and if you have the Holy Spirit, you could be taken out of the spiritual kingdom of God. That's the one that you and I are trying to get into. Listen. Listen. The seed is the word of God. And those that fell by the road are the ones who hear. But the devil comes and takes the word from their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Didn't I speak this week to people? Did they tell me that they were going to come to the church today? Did I give them a testimony at the shop as a minister of God? Yes, I did. Where are they? The parable says that the devil comes immediately and takes the seed that you gave to them away from them. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Listen to the words. And those that fell upon the rock are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. That's the word of God. But these do not have root. They don't have root. And believe only for a while, and the time of trouble, they fall away. And those that fell upon the thorns are the ones who have heard, but are choked while pursuing the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and do not bring any fruit to maturity. And those that fell on the good ground are the ones who, in a right and good heart, listen, they hear the word of God and they keep it. They keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgment of God. And they bring forth fruit with endurance. They endure. They stand fast. When trouble comes, they hang on. They take the bull by the horns and they don't let go because their eternal life depends on it. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a couch. But he puts it on the lampstand so that those who are entering may see that light, which is the light of Jesus Christ, which is supposed to be our light, according to Matthew 5. That's right. And to the virgins, it's true. But listen carefully. Listen carefully, brethren, here. Get the words that are being said. Same chapter, 19 through 21. Listen to what he's saying here, brethren. Please listen carefully. Verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him shall be given, but whoever does not have, even that what he seems to have shall be taken from him. Then his mother and his brothers came to him and were not able to get to him because of the multitude. And it was told to him, saying, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who are hearing the word of God and doing it. Listen to what I said. The word of God comes from the Old Testament. It proceeds into the new, but you have to go from the old to the new. The Lord Jesus Christ, through his apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, tells us to be on the foundation where we're supposed to be. The foundation is the apostles, the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Show me where the apostles and Christ and the prophets did not keep the word of God, which is the keeping the commandments of God. You show it to me in context, and I'll follow you. I'll follow you, but guess what? You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Because God Almighty has one way to get to him. Jesus Christ is the door, but you have to be obeying God. It's a catch-22 that the world doesn't see. But it's a wonderful catch-22. Listen to me carefully. Them that are doing it, that's what he said. That they're keeping, my brothers and my mother are them that are keeping the word of God and doing it. Listen carefully, brethren, still being in Luke 11. Luke 11, brethren. Okay, first go with me before I go there. Go to Luke 7 quickly. Luke 7, brethren. Luke 7. Here we go. Please listen carefully. Get over here. These pages are real sticky here for some reason. Not sticky, they're just hard to open. Luke 7. Listen carefully, brethren.
Luke 7, starting at verse 43. And Simon said, Luke 7, starting at verse 43, and Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave the most, he said to him, you have judged rightly. He just gave him some kind of a parable. And after turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? How I came into the house, and you did not provide me any water to wash my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You did not give me a kiss, he was talking to the Pharisee that invited him to dinner, but she, from the time that I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. For this cause, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Then those who were sitting with him began to say within themselves, who is this that even the forgiveness of sin will be forgiven? See, I was supposed to read that before into context, and then go into 8, because I got first here, but I missed it. Verse 11, chapter 11, brethren. Chapter 11. Let's go to chapter 9 first. Chapter 9 first. Listen what the Lord has to say. Starting at verse 18, brethren. Now it came to pass, as he was praying alone, the 12 disciples were with him, that he questioned them, saying, whom did they say and declare to me to be? Okay, drop down to, and he said, and he answered, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, and others say the prophets of ancient time, he has risen from the dead. And he said unto them, but whom do you declare me to be? And Peter said, Lord, you are the Christ. Drop down to 24. For whosoever desires to save his life shall lose it. Whoever shall desire to save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall desire to save his life shall gain it. Go with me also to 11 now. Go to 11. Chapter 11 in Luke. Chapter 11, Luke 27 and 28. And it came to pass that as he spoke these things, a certain woman lifted up her voice from the multitude and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck, that you have sucked. And he said, yes, rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Listen carefully what the Lord said there. Blessed are they that keep the word of God and keep it. Romans 8, brethren. Romans 8. Romans 8, this is a wonderful chapter. You and I need to read this. I read it all the time. But you need to read this as something that's very, very important, how to hold and keep the Spirit of God. Romans 8, starting at verse 1. Here we go. Romans 8. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's, we're being judged now, like I said, on the hoof. Listen carefully. Who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit is life. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death, which is the commandments of God. You keep the commandments of God, you're not going to fall into the law of sin and death. For what was impossible for the law to do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God has sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, the second Adam. In order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. For those who walk according to the flesh
mind the things of the flesh. It's evident out there. In the days of Noah, what? But those who walk according to Spirit, mind the ways of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. What does it say in Romans 6? The wages of sin is death. Sin, according to 1 John 3, is a transgression of the law, written 98 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He says that sin is the transgression of the law. And I believe it's in John, 1 John 1, he says, them that say that there is no law, paraphrasing, are liars and the truth does not in them. It's 98 years after Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. And it says, those that sin and transgress the law, according to 1 John 3, I believe it is, are of the devil. God is in light. What does he say in John 8? He says that, if I'm not mistaken, I know I'm not, but I'm just trying to put it, to be free and to be free indeed is to be keeping what God wants us to keep. That's the laws of God. And then he goes on to tell them that their father is Satan the devil, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. John takes that up 98 years later and is telling us what the score is and what to do. He would have changed it right in the there and then. And of course, bumped us onto the right track. No. The right track is also found in 1 John 5:3. To love God is to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Listen carefully, brethren, as I go on here. I'm going to drop down for a bit for time's sake. Drop down to verse 21. Of course, it's got to be all read in context. Let me just read it. All right, verse 13. Because if you are living according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. When you got time, if you're writing Scripture down, write 1 Timothy down, chapter 1. The righteous are not under the law, only them that are breaking the law. That's Paul, the one that they want to save through the commandments of God into the toilet. But Peter says to be careful of what Paul is talking about, because many, many twist the Scriptures and the writings of Paul and to their own destruction. Now, Peter was talking to Paul, and vice versa, as I'm speaking to you today. How I speak to people in the shop or wherever I go that want to speak about the Lord. That's how he was talking to him face to face. You got to be very careful. That man would have never broke the law of God willfully. Never. Listen. Now, we are children. We are also heirs. Then we also fit in Hebrews 11. Truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer together with him, so that we may be glorified together with him. In other words, at his return. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation itself is waiting and making and the manifestation of the sons of God. But the creation was subjected to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope, in order that the creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Exactly what the Lord is talking about. This man didn't come to change anything. He was like talking to a politician of today. They talk in circles. I believe with all my heart that Paul spoke mainly in parables. Mainly in parables, that the children of God who have the Spirit of God understand without a doubt what the man is talking about. I'm not up in the air what the man is speaking of, and I don't believe any of God's people that have the Spirit of God are either. There's no deviation from what this man is saying. He's saying everything he's supposed to be saying. Don't go there. I'm going to go to one scripture. Write down scripture, 1 Corinthians 7. Paul says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments of God, that's everything. So with these words that that man says a little here and a little there, how does the world say that we don't have to keep the commandments of God? Or they were nailed to the cross. The commandments of God was not nailed to the cross. Peter says that sin was nailed to the cross. The Lord nailed sin of you and I who were there 2,000 years ago when Christ was on that cross. You and I were there. He nailed sin to the cross from Adam all the way through to the future and beyond us. That's what he nailed to the cross. Not the commandments of God to recognize what sin is. It's totally ridiculous what's being taught out there. Listen carefully, brethren, please. Verse 20, but because the creation was subjected to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him to subject it in hope, in order that the creation itself may be delivered from the bondage of corruption, and the children, I read that, for we know that all creation is groaning together and travailing together until now. Groaning and travailing until now. In other words, he's saying we're not born again. We're not born again. We're like being in a mother's womb getting ready to be born. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ told that to Nicodemus in John 3, and Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15. In order to be and be where God is, that's being born again. When you go from flesh to spirit, begotten is now in the flesh. Begotten. You're waiting. You're groaning. You're waiting for the birth. When Christ comes back, you're resurrected. Then you become born again. I got a tape on that. Then you become born again. Other than that, you cannot be born again until you're in the realm of the Spirit. Christ himself says it, and the apostle says it, who was taught by revelation of Jesus Christ in Galatians 1 for 3 years, three and a half years, taught directly by Jesus Christ himself, saying the same thing Christ said. You're not born again in the flesh. What you're becoming begotten, you're becoming to getting ready for that birth. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. And then verse 23, and not only that, but even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Who's the first fruit? According to 1 Corinthians 15, is it not Jesus Christ? Are we not the next up in line to be with Christ, part of the first fruits? And then he gives the order of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 and also in 1 Thessalonians. Listen carefully. Who also groan within ourselves, awaiting the sonship, the redemption of our bodies. When the Lord comes and changes us, brings them out of the dirt, or changes us in a moment or in the twinkling of an eye. That could only be done to them that are obeying God at that time. For by hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. Of course, then it goes on, and anyone who's still waiting, he sees. Listen carefully. We're going right down to the nitty-gritty. Acts 5. Acts 5, we're right down to it. Then we'll be going for the last scriptures over. Last scripture, then wow. Listen to what Peter has to say, brethren, and I want you to listen very, very closely, because this is right out of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given. Listen carefully what's being said here, brethren. Listen carefully what's being said here. Acts 5, 31 and 32. Him has exalted by his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance and remission of sins to Israel. Listen. And we are his witnesses of these things, as is also the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey Him. How do they obey God? Do we obey God with the tradition of men? By first day of the week keeping? By keeping Christmas and Easter and all these things? Is that what Peter was talking about? That we keep Baal? That we keep what came from Babylon and Egypt? Is that what Peter's talking about? Or is he talking about keeping the commandments of God? I tell you, he's talking about keeping the commandments of God. That's how you get the Spirit of God. Big picture. Little dot deep on the cross. Always remember that. Little dot deep on the cross. Big picture. You got to obey God to have the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Starting at verse 5. So that your faith may not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now we speak wisdom among the spiritually mature. However, it is not the wisdom of this world, nor the rulers of this world, how coming to nothing. Rather, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which is a mystery to this whole world. Christ said it would be. Even the hidden wisdom that God foreordained before the ages unto our glory, which not only the rulers of this world have known, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But according to as is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love Him. Listen, those who love Him. I gave the definition 3 times already. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men understand the things of men, but by the Spirit of man? Listen to the definition of what the Spirit of God is. In other words, there's a Spirit in man, which you and I have. And there's also a Spirit in God. Not a spirit that's standing next to God, talking to God, as another entity. It's the Spirit of God that emanates from within God. But He's able to dole His Spirit out as He wants to dole it out. That's the only difference. It's the power of God that's in Him. He said that the power of God, that the angel Gabriel said that the Holy Spirit would go over Mary and she would conceive. Now this is how ridiculous this would be. If this was another entity, then the Father is not the Father of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is. Think about what I just said there. Now listen to me carefully. We'll come right down to the nitty gritty over here. Listen carefully. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Well, let me just drop right down to close to 16. Okay. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given unto us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but the words taught by the Holy Spirit, in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually discerned. However, the one who is spiritually discerns all things, but he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has instructed him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, we're going for the last scriptures now, brethren. Ephesians 2, second chapter, brethren. It's going to be a couple of scriptures here.
second chapter, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Listen carefully, brethren. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this especially is not of your own selves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. I talked about the catch 22 here, which is a wonderful catch 22. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we may walk in them. In other words, that we may walk in those good works, which is the commandments and the statutes and judgments of God. Make no mistake about that, brethren. Brethren, may God bless us all.